Welcome to this podcast by the Caboolture Gospel Church. For more information about us, head to www.caboolturechurch.com.au.
Today, we are looking at something to do with growing. And today we're looking at, if you think of a tree, underneath a tree, what's underneath a tree? Under the ground. Roots. So we all know that when we're talking about growing, where much of the growth comes from is underneath the tree, underneath, things that you can't see. Same it is for every one of us. We've all been told it since we're a little kid. It's what's on the inside that counts. It's underneath where things are really happening. So today, I'm talking about character. When I was at university my last year, one of my last exams, it's what they call an essay exam, and it was a scene essay exam. So they would give me the question, and then I would go home for a week or a few days or a few hours, depending how studious I was, and I would study the question, and I was able to take in a page of notes, one page of notes, and then I would go into the exam, and I would write my essay or my paper answering the question. So depending on how good your notes are is depending also on your mark. I went home, it was one of my last exams, motivation was failing me a bit, and I wrote my whole exam on one piece of paper. I went on the computer, I put the font down really, really, really little, I put the margins to the very end, and I fitted about 900 words on an A4 piece of paper that I could barely read. I thought though, if I hand in this piece of paper with 900 words on it, and I've written it word for word, the guy marking it, because you have to hand in your notes with it, the guy marking it's just going to think this is ridiculous and he's probably going to have trouble passing me. So, a man of character, what I did was, I wrote on another piece of paper, I wrote down 6 dot points, really brief, 6 dot points, about 30 words, and I folded up that piece of paper and I put it in my pocket. I took in my other piece of paper with 900 words on it, and I took it into my exam. I sat down and I copied out those words, 900 words, word for word, and it sounded brilliant. And then, just before I finished, when we had to hand all our examination in, the idea was that maybe I would swap the pieces of paper, and I would give him my 30 words. So, you're all looking at me like I'm a terrible person. And maybe I will. So, and I suddenly had this dilemma. Am I a person of character? Do I swap this piece of paper? Do I give him the one that I've used? I suddenly felt like the whole world was looking at me. This was my moment. All of the universe and heaven and hell, they're all looking at me and I was about to be judged. Would I be honest? I'd planned to cheat, potentially. But would I redeem myself? Would I be a person of character? Or would I be shallow and hollow and weak? What would I do? Martin Luther King, famous man, he says, I look to a day in one of his famous speeches when people will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. He knew that that's what we should be judged by. That's what I was feeling in that moment in my exam. A famous basketball coach, John Wooden, really, really impressive guy. He was a college basketball coach. He was inducted into the Hall of Fame, both as a player, both as a coach, the first one ever. He taught his players first how to be successful at life and then how to be successful at basketball. And he took a college team, not that very good, and they won 7 series in a row. No other team since has ever done more than 2 in a row. And he took a team, did 7 in a row, and he said it was all because he taught them character. Not on the court, but outside the court. He says, be more concerned with your character than your reputation because your character is what you really are. Your reputation is just what people think about you. In line with analogy of a tree that's in your bulletin, Leonardo DiCaprio in a recent movie called The Revenant says the wind cannot defeat a tree with strong roots. Character is important. My favourite one by a fashion icon, Audrey Hepburn, she said, to measure the man, measure his heart. To all young girls out there, to measure the man, measure his heart. The whole idea of character and virtue is an interesting one in our culture. Everyone will tell you that It's really important, and we hold firmly to the belief that character is so, so, so important. It's of highest quality. To be noble, to be true, we should all be like it. Yet nobody can really agree in our culture on what character is. What are the virtues that we should hold on to? What are the things, when is character really important? There's lots of things we once subscribed to in our culture that we no longer think are important, or we no longer relate with good character, yet we still feel, like Audrey says, that the character of a man is who he really is. It is the man. His character is actually him. We're confused as we become a bit progressive, and our culture bangs heads on it all the time because we know character is so important, yet some of the things that we think don't always line up with what character maybe is or what we used to think it was, and we bang heads. We feel doing what you want is important. That's the most important thing probably. But sometimes what I want doesn't line up with what good character is. And so we're not sure which one it is or how it works. Everyone in Caboolture will tell you that character is more important than talents and abilities and than just being a good person. Character is really important, whether it's on a football field, whether it's in a war or in a family or in a business. They'll all tell you how they'll esteem character. Everyone wants someone with character. You go down to the local boxing ring, they want the guy with character, that when he gets knocked down, he gets backed up. They're the guys that they want to train. You go to the local council in a business, no one wants the guy who's super talented yet is dodgy. Everyone wants the one with good character. We esteem it. We want something truer than just nice deeds and just talents. We want someone that has a heart itself of character. If you think of an analogy, it's like if you take a rotting carcass and you line it with jewels, you line it with talents, you line it with good deeds, but yet it has not character, it's still going to be a demon to look at. But yet, if you take a human with a heart of solid gold, the heart itself is a jewel, and you beat it up and you dress it in rags, it's still the most beautiful person of all. And that's the story of Snow White that we all know and we all hear about as kids. Someone whose very heart is a jewel. It can't be tarnished no matter what you do. And that's what we all want deep down. That's what we all search for and we long for. As children, we want parents like that. We wanted a parent like that. Someone who was true, who would always do right by us, who would always keep us safe. They make us happy even if it rains. As teens and adults, we look for a lover like that. Someone that just doesn't do nice things or has special talents, but someone of character who's strong yet kind, whose love is forever. They'll always do what's right, not just when it suits them. As parents, we want children like that because we know that's what counts. That is what will reward them the most. That's what will get them through. And most of all, we want it for ourselves because we know we'll be able to face anything. And most of all, we'll be able to face ourselves when we look in the mirror because we'll say, I'm a person of character and I count. We want it. We crave it. And if we don't measure up to it, something inside us eats us alive. It is what's inside us that shapes our lives. As Audrey says, we are what our heart is. To measure the man, measure his heart, his character. How do we get this character? A famous historian said, you cannot dream yourself into character, you must hammer and forge yourself one. We can do that, but is that all there is to it? Hard work and strength of will. The Bible talks about character. Just like Audrey says, the Bible says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows out of it. Above all else, guard your heart, guard the inner thing. It determines the course of your life. It is the source of life, the Bible says. I want to go to 1 Corinthians 13, a famous chapter, to look at this. The Bible actually tells us what this true character is and how we actually get it. Hopefully that's big enough for you to read up there, or you can turn to it if you have a Bible. Whether you're a Christian or not here, you probably would have heard this passage before. It's a famous one. Whether in a movie, a funeral, a wedding. in verse 1 it starts, "If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but I have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give away my body to hardship that I may boast but do not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others, and it's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails." Usually we read this passage at weddings and everyone goes, oh. When this was first written, Paul's writing to a group, a church in Corinth, a big-time city. All these words he says in verses 4 to 7, love is patient, love is kind, all these good things about true character. Paul's already used all these words to tell the church in Corinth, these are the very things you aren't, that you should be. So they weren't getting all excited when they read this. It was hitting them right in the heart, convicting them. The Corinthians are much like you and me, and yet the Bible has hope for them. Hope for us. This passage tells us two things that character is not and then one it is that I want to look at. The first one that character is not. In verse 2 it says, "If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains but have not love, I'm nothing." Faith that can move mountains speaks of leadership. Being talented and gifted in leadership, no matter where it is, like we said, in a business, in a marriage or a family. Leadership's the ability to get people to do something that they otherwise wouldn't, to get them to get over an obstacle, to get through something. It's an infectious vision gift that can get people together, it can rally them together, and to do things they otherwise couldn't. Faith that can move mountains. A precious thing. How about to fathom all mysteries and all knowledge? To be a genius, to know all and stun and understand all, and you can teach it. Intellectually gifted. And this makes you great because knowledge is power. You can create and invent and act correctly. You can make good life decisions. Your family thrives. Your business thrives. Financially you thrive. Your family's blessed. And prophecy it talks of, the ability to communicate all this knowledge, but it's not just a communication gift, it's direct revelation from God, as Christians believe it. God talking directly to you, and you're making sense for other people of the world they live in and who they are, and God himself. This is amazing. Paul is saying, God could have made you a great leader. You could have helped hundreds and thousands of people. You could have given direct revelation straight from God to you to do all this. Real understanding. Miracles could have been done through you. And you could not be a Christian at all. You could not be a good person at all, a person of character. It's what verse 2 is saying here. You could have all that and be spiritually nothing. Zero character. When he says at the end, "I am nothing," he's not just giving some over-the-top kind of way. He's literally saying it all amounts to nothing. All that talent of no substance. First thing that this character is not is talent. Don't mistake talent for achievements or character. Don't mistake talent for character. Let me give you an example. You're 18. You decide to be a chippy, to build houses for a living. You go and you start your apprenticeship. You sweep floors. You go and do the lunch run for 6 months. And then the boss gives you a chance on the tools. He buys you some tools. You jump on. You actually find out you're very talented. You're very good with planning and construction and building. Your boss puts you to work. You excel at it. You're faster at it and more skillful at it than all the other tradies who are above you. You finish your 4-year apprenticeship in 3 years. You fly through it. You're gifted. You're talented. As soon as you finish your apprenticeship. Your boss makes you the supervisor. The job gets done with speed and skill, but problems start to emerge. The other chippies working underneath you are unhappy. You can't handle being wrong. You get angry and stress too quickly. You tick off all the other trades, brickies and sparkies and plasterers and plumbers. They're all angry at you. They're all frustrated. The job may have been done well and quick, but it was expensive. You're not reliable with money. You don't care about the customer's pocket or even your boss's pocket. You only care about your own pocket. Don't mistake talent for character in other people's lives, but especially in your own life. Just because everyone around you is saying you're awesome and you're doing well and you're talented and you're rising to the top of your field and this is so awesome, don't think that automatically it means that you're being built with character, that it's good and true, that God's grace is working in your life. Paul here isn't saying, well, what should I say about love? I'm going to say some nice things about love. He's saying to these people in Corinth, you could be the most talented people on the planet. He's actually telling them they are the most talented people on the planet because they were. If you read through the whole book, they're so talented. They're in a city like London or New York where everyone goes because they're super talented. And he tells them, you're awesome, but your character stinks. Right into this culture that puts all the emphasis on talent and achievement. He says, I don't care how rich you are. I don't care how talented you are, how successful you are, how beautiful you are. If you're irritable and impatient, selfish, self-centered, you have nothing. You can't just say, well, I'm a successful person, but I've got a few personal issues. Paul says it's nothing. It's strong, but it's what he says. He says character is everything. It's not about ability, not about talent. Christians are terrible for this. We all are terrible for this. We're all human. Let's just say I'm a very bitter man. Life has ripped me off. Therefore, I get jealous easily. I get annoyed and angry easily. Let's just say then I become a Christian. And instead, I could go through the very hard work of character change. I could let the love of God completely affirm me so I have enough affirmation to admit where I'm wrong and to start to change. Or instead of bringing the love of God into my heart in a real way, I could go to church. The next thing you know, I realize I have a speaking gift and I start preaching and teaching and everyone around says you're doing so well and God is using you and that's so amazing. People are helped. And then I assume, and we all assume, that God is with him and God is using him. Therefore, I must have fine character. Therefore, the grace of God and the love of God must be working in my heart and changing me. No, not at all, not necessarily. Don't mistake talent for character. It is the worst possible thing you could do. We all know that. We all see that. We all have our own examples of people in our lives, of our own lives. Where we've done that. Mistaking talent for character, one person says, is poison to my very soul and damaging to those around me. The Bible tells us here we can do. I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing this. And it can be nothing. Which is a bit of pill to swallow. But we should look at ourselves and think, am I hiding behind the good things I do for other people? The things that I'm good at? When people say, oh, you've helped me so much, do I hide behind my talents and my abilities? Yet often I'm unhappy. I'm irritable. I get offended easily. My pride stays the same. I've been the same for the last 5 years. I'm impatient. I tend to be harsh. I keep a record of wrongs. You wrong me. I don't forget it. I tally it up. It's natural to mistake talent for character. It's supernatural. It happens so easily. Don't do it. The next thing, Paul moves on in verse 3. He moves from talent and he gives us a different list. He starts over. He says, this is a different translation I've written here. He says, if I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, I give over my body to hardship and suffering, even unto death. But have not love, I gain nothing. This is talking about a different kind of person. Many people would see verse 2 and they'd agree with what I've just said. They'd say, of course talent isn't everything. Of course talent isn't character. Leadership, prophecy, intelligence, ability, big personality, it's all for show. It's all for the big lights. That's not what we need. What we need is good morals, people of integrity. Verse 3 gives us someone of the greatest generosity, someone who's able to give away everything. They're able to give away all their money and live a simple life, living it, devoted to the poor, to helping the poor. Someone also of the highest integrity, so committed that they will stand by their values and their beliefs, even if it costs them their life. And quite amazingly, what does Paul do? He slams this list just as he did with the virtue list, with the talented list. He says it's possible to be incredibly good, incredibly virtuous, sacrificing all the time, sacrificing your time, your money, maybe your very life, and yet be without love. Second thing, don't mistake being good for character. Don't mistake being good for character. This can be a bit confusing. At the end of this list in verse 2 about being talented, Paul says, I am nothing. Because often we use our talents to try and be someone, to be something. Think of a great singer who says, if I couldn't sing anymore, what would I be? And often all of us, we can think of things in our life or times in our life where we've had something that we're good at or something we do and we think, well, if I didn't do that, or some of us have lost that, we're a bit lost for a time. We think, who am I? What am I doing? At the end of verse 3, he says, I gain nothing. Not I am nothing, he says, I gain nothing. Because we often do good things to gain for ourselves, to gain approval and acceptance. Think of me at uni. I had 2 pieces of paper. Which one do I hand in? I ended up handing in the one I used. And you would think, oh, well, he has some character maybe. He couldn't do it. He's a good person, kind of. I told the truth. I honored the truth. I honored God. I honored my friends who actually studied properly and did hard work to get their mark without cheating. What a man of character. Not really. Not necessarily. Don't mistake being good for character. Why did I do the good thing? Why did I do the right thing? It wasn't really about the truth. It wasn't really about honesty. It wasn't about God. And it wasn't really even about my friends around me. It was about me. It made me feel adequate. Now I know maybe God will love me. Now I know I'm a good person. Now I know I'll count. Now people will see me as honest and right. I gain approval. I count for something. I did it because I couldn't handle being the person that cheated. I did it for myself. I did it so I didn't get caught, so I wouldn't be shamed. It wasn't anything good necessarily. It was about me. I did it for me. You might say, well, that's just really harsh. Isn't that still a good thing? Even if you did it for yourself, we do that all the time in life. And yes, it is a good thing. And we should do that. And that's a good thing to do. And you should live like that. But only in the short term. In the long term, it does not form good character. It forms selfishness and pride. Because true character does not center on yourself. It centers on others. And while good things are about you, if good things are just about you and to make you look good, to make you feel worthwhile, long term, you end up like that dead corpse lined with jewels. Doesn't matter how good you are, the inside eventually comes out. You may be loving, but there's no true love. Let me give you a more extreme example. I'm getting married at the end of this year. It's exciting, I hope. People tell me it's exciting. I've never done it before, so I'm taking their word for it. Me and Case, we fall madly in love. We get married at the end of this year. The years go by, though. She maybe gains a little bit of weight. Of course she wouldn't. She maybe loses some of her good looks. She maybe looks different, maybe grows an extra ear or an extra toe. Hopefully I'll stay blind. I start straying to other people in my mind. I think she's changed. It's not my fault. She's no longer the girl I once loved. She's no longer the girl that I fell in love with. The next thing you know, the marriage falls apart. What was the love about? It's quite simple, really. Case met a need. The need for me to feel like I've got a good wife. I've got a good-looking wife. I've got an intelligent wife. I've got a career-driven wife. I've got someone who makes me feel loved, someone who makes me feel happy. She would have been meeting a need for me, for my ego, for my need to feel worthy. When she stopped meeting that need, my love fails. All my love, all my affection wasn't really love, was about me. Yes, I may have loved her greatly, but I didn't love Case for Case's sake. I didn't love Case for even God's sake. I loved Case for my sake. The Bible says, do not mistake being good, being virtuous, being sacrificial, being committed for a heart changed by God. It's possible to be loving without love. That's what Paul's saying here. He's saying if you give all you possess, how loving is that? If you give your body, your very life, how can that not be loving? Because we can do it for ourselves to gain stuff. Paul says you gain nothing. As humans, we all do this on some level. If you're thinking, well, maybe I'll probably do that a bit, maybe I do that a lot. We all do this on some level. It's how it is to be human. We all have a problem with this. But we need to look closely at our heart and let God change our character. We're all like that completely. We're all like it so much. But God takes a heart and he changes us and he makes our character more refined like gold. That we don't do things to gain for ourselves and to be somebody. But we do something because God has gained everything for us and he has made us somebody. So we don't have to go out into the world trying to be somebody, trying to make a name for ourselves. Character is not being talented. It's not being good. Then what is it? And how do you get it? Character comes through grace. Character comes through grace. Love is patient, verse 4 says. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude or self-seeking, easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love doesn't delight in evil but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes. Does your heart feel good when you hear those words? Always perseveres. Love never fails. It sounds really good, doesn't it? Character is not being talented. It's not just being good. It's being graced. What do I mean by being graced? True inner heart character comes from a complete change in the way that you approach God. It's the very first thing. The way that you approach God completely changes. The way you approach life completely changes. Look in verse 1 for me. It says, if I speak in the tongue of men and angels but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If you don't have love, you're just an annoying gong or a cymbal. It's super annoying. You're not just like nothing. You actually become something and it's super, super annoying. Paul here is referring to temple worship. In the city of Corinth, these guys would have been real familiar with it. They did this all the time. This is how everyone worshipped their gods. They didn't have simple worship. Their worship was a spectacle. It was massive. It was awesome. It was a production. They had massive gongs and cymbals and music and people dancing. Money everywhere, paying for it all. And they did it all to get the God's approval or God's approval. They would bang away, bang, bang, bang. God, look at me. Look at me. Bless me. I'm a good person. I count. For those of you who are Christians here, Paul is saying you can go to church every week. You can read your Bible, go to Bible studies, talk to people about God. You can give your money to the poor. You can love your wife. You can work hard in your job or as a mum. And it can just be you banging a gong, banging away, clanging a cymbal, just like the temple worshippers in Corinth, trying to earn God's approval. Look at me. Bless me. I'm a good person. I count. Christianity works in the complete opposite way. The complete opposite way to this and every other religion. Instead of earning your approval, you admit your helpless state. Instead of trusting in yourself and in what you can do and what you can gain, you trust in Jesus. You trust in Him earning God's approval for you. You're not supposed to go out into the world trying to earn God's approval. That doesn't help anyone. You're not supposed to go out trying to meet some inner emptiness. That's when things get messed up. You're supposed to go out into the world already being full. The only way to true character, the only way it can form in you, that isn't infected with yourself, is through a complete reversal. Instead of trusting in yourself, you trust in Jesus. Look at verse 4 to 7. Paul is clearly personifying love. He uses all verbs, doing words. He's deliberately not just giving us a set of guidelines, saying, if you want to be a loving person, if you want to be a good Christian person, do this. I know sometimes I read it like that when I read it, but it's not what it means. He's showing us a person who is love itself. He says, love is patient, love is kind. Paul says you'll never be a loving person if you just think this is a set of guidelines, something to follow, something to do, something that you have to pick up and breathe life into and make happen. He says, no, love is an actual power. It's an actual force that has to get a hold of you and has to get you and breathe life into you and breathe power into you. It's active. He has to encounter you, come upon you and fill you. Otherwise, you'll never learn true love. You'll never learn true character. It'll always be infected with yourself. Who is Paul thinking of when he writes this? Where is the ultimate example of suffering patiently? Think of Jesus on the cross, who said, my God, why have you forsaken me? He patiently suffered. Who's the ultimate example of not keeping a record of wrongs? Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. The ultimate example of love never giving up. Jesus prayed, don't remove this cup from me. Please, if you can, remove it, but not your will. Not my will, but your will. As I finish, we'll just get a little bit practical for the last couple of minutes. If you read this whole book of 1 Corinthians, it's clear as day, super clear. In the beginning, in the very first chapter, or second chapter, Paul immediately deals with all these terrible character flaws, like you and me. There's people there who are bickering, they're fighting, there's jealousy. In the very beginning, some of them are saying, I'm with Paul. Some are saying, I'm with Peter's party, just like an election. They're all saying, I'm with this person, I'm with that person. This person is who you should be with. No, this person is who you should be with. And Paul replies to them, and he says, was Paul crucified for you? Did Peter die for your sins? He says, think of the cross. If you're ever angry and spiteful, impatient, fighting, you've forgotten the cross, he says. The cross humbles you. It can't let you be proud. How can I be proud when it took the Son of God to die for me? How could I ever be proud? It completely humbles me, but then it lifts me up and stops me from ever emotionally being needy. I never have to prove myself because the Son of God was actually willing to die for me and wanted to die for me. The answer to character development in your life is letting Jesus and the power of the cross transform you from the inside out. Paul starts off in this book to Corinth saying the only way to deal with your character flaws is through the cross. And then here in 1 Corinthians 13, he does the exact same thing. Are you struggling with pride? Do you hate it when people think that they're better than you, or when they are better than you, and they talk about you like that or act about you like that? Is it hard loving your annoying spouse? Do you hold grudges? Is it hard to stand for things you believe in? Do you give up easily? Do you put people down or other things down to put yourself up? We all do all these things. It's natural to our human nature. We should be doing that unless something, some power, some love higher than us come and breathes life into us. God's grace poured out at the cross is our only true answer. A love so deep, so mysterious, His Spirit, His very Spirit breathed into us. If you see these verses here in verse 4 to 7, only as a guide for your behavior, you'll never get there. You must see them, yes, as something to do, as love to be and love to do. But first you must see them as a love done for you and a love done to you. When you see Jesus loving you like that, it completely changes everything. We as humans, we are not capable of creating and producing a love that, like this up here. We can't do that. But we can pass it along if we've already gotten it from somewhere else. And that's what happens as a Christian. It's never you creating or producing the love. It's not me standing there in my uni lecture hall, creating honesty and being honest. What it is passing it on from someone who's already given it to you. It flows through you. It's a life outside of you, a love outside of you that's come into you and completely transformed you from the inside out. You can then turn around and do it for others because Jesus has done it for you. For those of you who aren't Christians here, this is speaking to you. Change your entire approach to God. Don't trust your talents. Don't trust your goodness. Trust in Jesus' talents, in His goodness. Ultimately seen at the cross. Watch then as true grace. I promise you, I guarantee you forms in your life. True character will form. You'll learn to pass on a love that you didn't produce, but that has been given to you. It will change the way you move into the world. It will change how you do everything. It will change your family. It will change your business, your friendships. You'll do everything in a totally different way. If you are a Christian here, don't mistake your talents for character. Don't use them as the main indicator of God outworking in your life. Instead, look at your heart. Look at your heart today. Are you growing? Ask somebody who knows you close. Are you happier than you were a year ago? Are you more humble, more patient, more tolerant? Maybe you can't be as happy. Maybe it's been a tough year. You can't be as happy. But are you stronger? Are you kinder? Is your prayer life better? Don't mistake talents for character. And when you start seeing these good virtues in your life starting to form, don't mistake that for character either. Don't mistake that for meeting Christ. Don't mistake just being good and doing good things for actually being born again and having God's Spirit inside of you, forming real character. If I can get that last slide up. I want you to remember this whenever you read Corinthians 13. The character is not about being talented or being good. It's about being graced. The only way we get that is from somewhere else. It's from Jesus. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you are the person of ultimate character. You are the one of complete, perfect character. So you are the one that we look at today. And when we look at you, we are so thankful. We are so thankful that we have a God, that we know you, someone that is of true character, someone who never gives up, someone who came and loved us fully. You didn't keep a record of our wrongs. You were patient with us. You were kind with us. And you never gave up. You always persevered with us. You never failed, and you do never fail. We thank you now that we can experience that love every day. we can go back to the cross, God, and we can let that love transform us and form true character in us. It can actually change someone like me, God. It can change a hard heart. It can change a selfish heart. You can actually make me something beautiful. We thank you, God, that you do that and that you never give up on us, even as we journey and struggle to do that. Amen.
You have been listening to a podcast by the Caboolture Gospel Church. We hope you have enjoyed it. For more information, head to www.caboolturechurch.com.au.